This is Active Lehigh Valley on 88.1 WDIY, Lehigh Valley Public Radio.
Welcome to Active Lehigh Valley. This program is generously supported by St. Luke's University Health Network. Our aim with this program is to encourage listeners to be happy, healthy, and active. I'm your host for today's episode, Margaret McConnell. My guest today is Julie Benjamin, who is the Regional Executive Director at Special Olympics Pennsylvania. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be on.
Today, we're going to be talking about the programs that are available for our intellectually disabled population so they too can be active and healthy. So tell us, Julie, about Special Olympics Pennsylvania and specifically the area that you're serving now, which is the Greater Lehigh Valley and Pocono region, correct?
Absolutely. Yes. Well, as an organization, I mean, we go back. Special Olympics Pennsylvania was founded over 50 years ago, and Special Olympics as a movement was founded in the 60s by Eunice Kennedy Shriver. And it has since grown, and Special Olympics is available in more than 190 countries across the world. So we're part of a global movement that is really based on inclusion, right? The whole idea from the very beginning was to make an inclusive environment where people with intellectual disabilities could participate primarily in sport, and we've grown to do more than sport over the years. Technically, we serve folks with intellectual and developmental disabilities starting at age 2 all the way up to whenever they want to stop competing. I say this often, but I'm incredibly proud. We have 2 women, they're both 77, and they continue to train and compete year round. So one's a swimmer, the other plays soccer and bocce, and they both medal every time in their division when they compete. So putting us to shame a little bit, but you're never too old to participate in Special Olympics.
Awesome. So tell me about the kinds of sports and activities that are available year round for athletes in the region.
We have our sports set up for 4 seasons, much like any sport that's not Special Olympics, right? You think of anyone else, youth sports or community sports. So in the fall season, we offer a number of different sports ranging from bocce, flag football, long distance walking and running, powerlifting, soccer, and volleyball. Then we move into our winter sports that include both indoor and outdoor. And the indoor sports are bowling and floorball. And then if you are an alpine person and want to get out and get active in the snow, we have alpine skiing, snowboarding, and snowshoeing. And then for our spring sports, we have track and field, basketball, gymnastics, swimming, and tennis. And then if you want to stay active year-round and do something in the summer as well, we offer golf and softball. So wow. There really is, hopefully, something for everyone, a sport for everyone who would be interested throughout the year.
Truly is like the Olympics. There's something for everyone. And I know the Olympics keeps adding sports. I think they added skateboarding recently. That was one that I remember watching. So how do you determine to add a sport or to take away a sport?
That's actually determined on the official level. It's determined by the Special Olympics International Governing Body and the board. And then that will trickle down to what we do because we train locally and we compete in local and regional and even statewide competitions. But from there, our athletes are eligible to compete in USA national competitions and world competitions. So as a matter of fact, we had an athlete from Northampton. Her name is Alyssa Jones, and she's 17. And she went to Italy in March to represent Team USA in skiing and brought home 2 silver medals. So you can be a kid who trains at Blue Mountain and make it all the way to Italy to compete in our international games, which is really exciting. And we also have athletes competing 2026 in Minnesota is the USA National Championship. So we have athletes from Berks County, from Northampton County, and from Monroe County who will all be representing Team PA for the national championships. So we do that to bring that full circle. We compete in the same sports that are offered nationally and internationally. Now, we're free to do a sport that's not an official sport, but that is growing in great popularity everywhere, including Special Olympics, is pickleball, for example. So if you want to play pickleball, you can play pickleball with Special Olympics. It's just not an official sport yet. So we can have local tournaments, but you couldn't go on to World Games in pickleball because it's not been officially deemed an international sport.
I wonder how long that will take to
I
become
think
an
it's on the
official sport.
horizon, right?
Obviously, you can continue to go on to the different levels to compete. If you just wanted to play in that particular sport but didn't have an interest in getting to the next level, is that a thing, or is it kind of like you're on the team?
It's very much a thing. No, absolutely. It's very much. In fact, a lot of our athletes train. Typically, our training season is 10 to 12 weeks. So they will participate and go to practice once or twice a week. And then athletes are free to choose if they want to go on for competitions. So it depends. You can do that if you want to go on to regional and again, statewide competitions, or if you like gymnastics and you just like to be able to train in gymnastics for 12 to 15 weeks in the winter in the early spring, then that's available as well.
What's the eligibility to participate as an athlete with the Special Olympics? Is there an age limit or specific requirement?
The specific requirement would be an intellectual disability or a developmental disability with a cognitive delay. And then age requirements, we offer programs starting as young as 2. It's a program called Young Athletes that really focuses on balance, motor skills, really helping our young athletes get ready for life, right? Not just sport, but all of those skills are really valuable for life. And then for our competition, youngsters can participate as young as 8 in our competitive sports and train. And again, there's no age limit, so you can participate as long as you'd like.
So, how does somebody get started with the Special Olympics in this region?
Well, they can certainly call our office, and I know that seems kind of old school, but what we do find is that calling the office is a good way to be able to talk to us because everyone has so many questions, and we have 86 different training sites in the region. So it's a good opportunity for us to sort of explain everything that we have. And our phone number is 610-850-0449. If they would like to go online, because that's also a great resource, specialolympicspa.org. Lots of information to be had there. But for a local level, I think it's worthwhile connecting with our office because we can give you very specific information about what sport trains what day at what facility, because oftentimes those are big determinants for family members or whomever might be helping to facilitate an athlete's participation. They need to make sure that they're going to be able to make those times or those locations.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. What does a typical season look like for an athlete from training to competition? You mentioned one sport, I think, had a few, like 10, 12-week period for training.
Yeah, so all of our sports, and again, this filters down from Special Olympics International. So, in order to be eligible to compete at the national and international level, you must complete successfully 10 weeks of training. That doesn't have to be simultaneous necessarily, but you have to have practice for 10 weeks. From there, then we have regional and what we call sectional competitions. Our fall sports sectional is held at DeSales University, and our spring sports are hosted by Kutztown University. And then athletes who place and advance from there will then go on to our statewide competition. So for our fall sports, the statewide competition is held at Villanova University. And for our spring sports, the statewide competitions are held at Penn State State College. So all in, it's probably about 15 to 16 weeks from the training time to the weeks devoted to the sectional experience to the culminating event, which would be the statewide event.
Now, are there programs that are designed for athletes of different ability levels, including those who are just starting out or maybe unsure about joining?
Absolutely. I mean, again, I think as I mentioned at the beginning, we are an organization that is rooted in inclusion. So we really make every available opportunity for athletes, and it's not uncommon at all. In fact, we have athletes who have very, very different abilities. And in the case of the sports, sometimes we offer training in what we call skills. So that's for athletes who need to sort of master some basic skills. And then they can move up to perhaps team participation. So, volleyball, for example, they would be training in skills and they would learn to set and hit and then move on and be part of a team. Same thing for basketball, same thing for soccer. We have skill level for all of our team sports. And then, with all of our team sports and our individual sports, we division much like any other sports organization. So you're going to be divisioned, meaning you and I would compete against each other if we have very similar scores. So if we're track and field athletes and we have a similar score for the 100 meter, then we're going to be in the same division because we're going to be competing with people who are of equal ability. And we do that across the board for all of our sports.
Like, this just seems very big to me, a big thing to manage. Are the coaches employed? Are they volunteers? What does that whole structure look like?
Well, we are incredibly dependent on and grateful to our volunteer coaches. All of our coaches and training site support team are volunteers. We have a very small staff here. There are five of us, and we cover a number of areas. We cover Berks, the city of Bethlehem, Carbon, Lehigh, Monroe, Northampton and Schuylkill counties. So that's seven different programs, almost 3,000 athletes. So we would never be able to do this were it not for the incredibly talented and dedicated volunteers that we have. So our volunteers, they train, we provide all the training and the certification in the sport, and they serve as volunteer coaches. And we have additional volunteers at our training sites who typically, we'll have a head coach, an assistant coach, and then a set of volunteers who help manage the training throughout the weeks that they do their work. And we're always looking for
That's
volunteers.
amazing.
That's my commercial there.
Oh,
Always
cool.
looking for more volunteers and more volunteer coaches because that allows us to serve more athletes. The more coaches we have, the more programs we could have. And we certainly have more people interested in the region, and we aren't always able to accept everyone. So we want to make sure that the more we do to recruit coaches, that allows us to reach more potential athletes.
Now, I imagine some of those volunteers come as family members and caregivers for the supporting athletes. What roles would you say beyond coaching, family members can have in participation?
Well, I think, being an advocate, right? That's probably a role that they've had since their child was born, being an advocate for them in life in general. But I talked a little bit earlier about some of the things that we do beyond sports. I think where families can support our athletes outside of that realm is to work with health and fitness. We really do a lot of work and we focused a lot on health and fitness programs. Unfortunately, people with intellectual disabilities have additional health challenges. They're two times as likely to have cardiovascular disease, two times as likely to be obese, and about five times as likely to have diabetes. So we work very hard to create supplemental and adjacent fitness programs that help our athletes to be more physically fit. Because all of the health challenges that I just described cannot be completely eliminated, but they can certainly be mitigated by a different health and fitness regime, right? So we really want to make sure in a regimen that helps our athletes. And a lot of that is very dependent on family members. to make sure that they create healthy eating habits at home. They create habits of after dinner, instead of sitting down and watching TV, take a 30-minute walk, right? All of those things make a difference. And then our athletes are not only healthier in their life outside of sport, but of course they have the opportunity to ultimately perform better when they're on the field because they've created a healthy lifestyle outside of that.
Okay, so you have programs that you could go to as a family that are not competitive sports, but are about fitness and healthy
Exactly.
habits.
Yes.
Awesome. So for those who want to help, so you mentioned earlier you're always looking for volunteers. So getting active can also mean getting out and volunteering. What role can volunteers take on, and what are basic requirements?
We have several different roles. I think the kind of entry level would be to volunteer as an event, a one-day event. Volunteer, and that can be everything from the competitions that I was talking about at DeSales. In fact, we have a regional bowling event in January. We have a number of sports events that are local, so you can volunteer. No experience necessary. We will train everyone, so it's a great way to kind of dip your toe if you've never volunteered for Special Olympics before. It gives you an opportunity to have that one day experience. We have two big fundraising events that we always are looking for volunteers for. One, of course, is our Polar Plunge, and that's on February 21st. That's where a bunch of brave souls jump into the Delaware River, all for a good cause, to raise money for Special Olympics. But as any event, as you well know, any large event requires planning and volunteers to help execute. So we can always use volunteers to help for that event. We also have another event in the fall, and it's called a plane pull. And it's where teams get together and they pull a 175,000-pound FedEx airplane, all to raise money. It's a competition because we are competitive by nature at Special Olympics. So it's a competition, and we have divisions, and people with the best times are the ones that walk away with the trophies. And that's held right at the Lehigh Valley Airport at the FedEx tarmac. Another great way to get involved. And then, of course, supporting as coaches and head coaches and volunteers for our training sessions. No previous sports knowledge is required. If you are interested in helping and we need bocce coaches, we provide all of the online training that's available. And then we do an in-person training on site. And then you can come and you can help our athletes participate and train with them once a week to do one of our various sports.
Wow, that's amazing. I knew the polar bear plunge, and I feel like this year it's going to be extra cold for folks.
I hope not, but maybe.
Plane pool, I've never heard of that. That's really cool. So, do you have any stories to share of like how volunteers have interacted with the athletes and made an impact on their lives?
There's so many. I think I'll give one example, and it's regarding a program that I hadn't talked about yet, and it's a big part of what we do also, and it's called Unified Champion Schools. And that's a program where we have programming now in 45 schools in our region, and it's mostly high school, but we have some middle school and elementary schools. And it's where we use sports as the foundation to create healthy, inclusive school environments. The students participate, students with and without a disability, participate together as equal teammates. And we do that in track and field and in bocce. So it really creates this environment of genuine, authentic friendships, right? And while we think that, I kind of use this example, but you know, some of those videos you've seen where they wait until there's 2 seconds and then they allow the guy with the disability to go out and like score the point. It makes for an emotional moment, but that's not truly inclusive in our mind. What we would love to see is a level of inclusion throughout the entire year to everyone's capabilities, right? So that's really what this program is about, creating this inclusive environment. And so the example I will give you of really making an impact is there's a young woman who goes to one of our schools and she participates. She's not an athlete. She's what we call a unified partner. So she's a student without a disability who is participating on the team. And she enjoyed it so much that she reached out and asked about volunteer opportunities. So she joined our team and helped to participate and coach our volleyball team. And then she went on. She's going to be going to college in a couple of years. And she has now chosen to study special education, because the entire process for her and the entire experience literally changed her mind completely about what her professional life is going to be. So she's decided that she wants to have a career in Special Olympics. So not only is it profoundly, I think, seismic change for her, but just think about all the lives that she's going to influence throughout her entire career, because she's sort of made a decision to work in the disability community. So I think that's a there's many, many more, but that's one that comes to mind.
That's amazing. And then beyond just the health aspects, what ways do you see participation in Special Olympics benefit the participants outside of sports, such as, giving them confidence and friendships and community, those kinds of soft skills?
Well, all of the above, right? I think not only through participating in sports, which provides a lot of basic life skills, taking direction, showing up on time, being a quality team member, sportsmanship, all of those things that are innate to participating in a sport. But we also have a series of programs that are designed to create leadership opportunities for our athletes. They can actually attend Athlete University and become certified as a public speaker. They can also take special training to be a health and fitness coordinator and then go back to their teams and lead some of those healthy and fitness initiatives that I was talking about, and they would be a lead. Every session, we have two athletes who are full sitting board members on our statewide board. So there's athlete representation at our board. At the local level, we have what we call a regional athlete leadership council. So we have athlete leaders from each of our seven programs who are selected by their fellow athletes, and they then sit on a committee. We meet regularly with them. And then they share their feedback on all of our initiatives that happen throughout the year. And that makes it all the way up to our two representing board members, who then share that at the board level if it comes to policy, initiatives, whatever those things are. Our athletes are a part of it. And I have to say again, another statistic that we're particularly proud of, generally speaking, folks with a cognitive delay across the country, their employment rate is around 26 or 28%. But more than 55% of athletes participating in Special Olympics are employed. And that's a big number. That's about twice the national average. So that's a tangible example of a life skill that our athletes will benefit from, gaining meaningful employment, having a level of independence. And all of that really is reinforced by their experience, not to mention the social benefits not only for the athletes, but also for the families. I've met so many families who they got started with Special Olympics when their kids were little, and they have lifelong friends now, right? They've become friends with the parents. It's a community that was created for them when they became part of the Special Olympics family.
Yeah, like any other program or sports program at schools, whoever your kids are playing with is who's who your friends become, right?
Exactly. And again, that goes back into the inclusive. There's nothing different necessarily about Special Olympics athletes participating in that way. The parents are still driving them there. They're still doing, right? All of those kind of parental responsibilities are pretty much the same.
Now, are there any other programs that you wanted to talk about that we didn't cover already, that you wanted to make sure people knew about?
No, I think I just wanted to reiterate also, I didn't mention this, all of our programs are free. It's really important for us to make sure that there are no barriers to participation. So any of the programs that I listed, whether it's participating at a Unified Champion School, whether it's participating in any of our community sports, whether it's leadership training that I talked about, attending Athlete University, any of our health and fitness programs, 100% of all of our programs are free to our participants. So
Wow.
it's an important factor of what we do because, intellectual disabilities are like many other aspects. It affects every family kind of across the board, right? There's no discrimination. So we make sure that everyone within our community who qualifies and is eligible for Special Olympics has that opportunity to participate.
That's amazing. Now, if somebody listening wants to join Volunteer or Learn More, will you repeat the website and the phone number and anything upcoming events, the Polar Plunge, for example, any information you want to give folks to make sure that they have that to take with them?
Absolutely. So for the Polar Plunge, I'll start there. It is February 21st, and you can go online to plungepa.org. And from there, you'll find the Lehigh Valley Polar Plunge, and you can sign up. Or if you're a little more chicken like me, you can just donate, still support the cause, but you don't have to jump into the Delaware River. Not everybody is shored up for that, right? Some of us are better supporting the event than we are actually jumping into the river. In order to contact us and have information about volunteering, our office phone number is 610-850-0449. You can also go online to specialolympicspa.org, and from there you can navigate to the Greater Lehigh Valley Pocono region, and from there you'll find all of the information that you need, the sports that we offer, more contact information. Really, it's a great resource. We're lucky in this day and age to have the resources that we have available through websites to share information with people.
Yeah, everything at your fingertips.
Right.
And just to close us out today, is there anything that you would say to someone who's thinking, I'm interested, but I'm nervous about trying something new?
Well, I can tell you, and this has been so true. Everyone told me, and then I experienced it, and now I sort of share it with everyone. It really is about once you come and experience interaction with Special Olympics, all it takes is one time. Then I think you really recognize what an incredibly enriching and enjoyable experience it is. I mean, there is a level of joy that happens. I think that's part of our mission statement, is to experience the joy of our athletes and their capabilities. And it couldn't be more true. I think you come, you have an opportunity, you see folks working so hard for their personal best. You see the joy that they experience from competing with their teammates. It really is an experience that benefits everyone. We, as volunteers and staff members, benefit from it because we're able to participate and we have the privilege to do that. And volunteers and the athletes also really benefit from having that extra support and having those opportunities.
Well, thank you so much. Julie Benjamin from Special Olympics has been here with us today. You've been listening to Active Lehigh Valley, which is generously supported by St. Luke's University Health Network on WDIY 88.1 FM. You can listen to this program again at our website at wdiy.org or anywhere that you get your podcast. Thanks for tuning in.